In preparation for this message, knowing that I was going to be speaking about the wordy, or people who make a lot of noise, people who talk a lot, I thought I'd do something unusual, and I went to the internet, and I typed in noisemakers, and just to see what popped up. And the stuff that popped up would be stuff that you probably expect. Things like blowhorns. I've seen these used at football games mostly, but I have seen them at hockey games, if you've ever been to those. I've noticed that noisemakers and sports often go together. These tubes, these plastic tubes, I've seen those at basketball games. If you've ever been to or watched a professional basketball game, those are used a lot. I've seen these spinner things. Anyone ever seen these spinner things? Where do you see them? Where? Oh, New Year's Eve. Oh, okay. I was thinking, I've seen these at curling games, actually. People, you know, shaking these things. There's quite something. Then, of course, there's these, which we all know. And the most fun thing about these little birthday noisemakers is blowing them in people's faces. I don't know why that's the natural thing to do. It just is, you know. So that's what you do. And when I taught in school, they gave all the kids in my class a noisemaker because I taught band. So you can imagine a junior high class, everyone with an instrument. Doesn't that sound like fun? You are already unconvinced, I can tell. You should be. It wasn't that much fun. It was tough. But out of all of these things, out of all the noisemakers that popped up in that internet search, the one that came up to the top was the one that surprised me the most. I was not expecting this. And it is this. Emergency unicorn noises. Emergency unicorn noises. I had no idea that at the top of the noisemaker list, it would be emergency unicorn noises. Now, the great thing, and you can't read it from where you are, I understand that, but there are four buttons on this noisemaker machine. And each one was more fantastic than the last. I have to explain this to you. I just couldn't believe this. The first button is, you're amazing. Who doesn't want to press that button in the morning? I want to press that button all the time. You're amazing. Yes, yes, yes. You're amazing. Does that sound like fun? The second button was glitter and rainbows. I don't know what glitter and rainbows sound like, but it's kind of fun, don't you think? What kind of noise does a rainbow make? I guess you have to buy this device to find out. The third button was believe in unicorns, in case your faith is waning a little. Believe in unicorns, yes. And the last button was come frolic, which just sounds like fun. So now I know already I've lost your attention because a lot of you are already typing, Googling this, so put on your Christmas list for next year. I get that. But come back to me, come back. I just want you to know it's okay. There'll be more of these available next Christmas, I'm sure, for your unicorn emergencies, okay? Now, after all that silliness, the Bible would actually probably add one more noisemaker to this list. And it's not fireworks, it's not PV speakers, it's not megaphones, it is, of course, us. You and I, we make a lot of noise. And I'll tell you, after being a pastor for 20-some-odd years now, I have had a lot of experience in making noise at the wrong time and in the wrong way. And I hope that you can relate to some of that. I have many regrets in the things that I have said. And as we continue on looking at the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, the Bible has a lot to say about noisemakers, the wordy, people who talk a lot. You know what I'm talking about, right? Chatterboxes, talkers, prattlers, windbags, big mouths, gas bags, blabber mouths, motor mouths, those suffering from verbal diarrhea, word marathoners. You know, people who talk too much. And here's the thing, every church has them. And if you don't know who the blabbermouths are, every family reunion has people who like to talk too much. Sometimes, even in a marriage, there's one who likes to talk too much. In a family, and so on and so on. And quit elbowing one another. I see what you're doing out there. But they're out there. Every connect group has someone, usually, who likes to talk too much. Classroom, office, you name it, there's someone who likes to talk. And we are going to discover today that followers of Jesus are selective talkers. It's not that we're silent, but we are selective. Now, we've talked a lot about noisemakers. We've talked a lot about people who talk too much. But how do you spot them? It's not always as easy as you think. The book of Proverbs actually gives us some clues as to how to find noisemakers. So we are looking at the book of Proverbs. This was written by King Solomon. King Solomon was the son of King David. He's writing this about 960 BC, considered by many to be the smartest man who ever lived, the wisest man who ever lived. And he wrote down some wisdom nuggets for us. And we have been looking at those wisdom nuggets for the last couple months. And today we come across what wisdom there is around this idea of noisemakers. And so how do you spot a noisemaker? First of all, number one, noisemakers are not curious about others. It says in 18:2, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Have you met people like this? Who just like to talk about their opinions. They are very high on opinion, right? But it says fools have no understanding. Now, you could actually reverse this, and you go, those who want to air their own opinions are fools who have no interest in understanding. And it'd be the same thing. So if you come across someone who only wants to air their own opinion, chances are they're not interested in understanding. And what that means, by the way, is not only are they not interested in understanding other points of view, they're not interested in you. They're not interested in you. They're interested in themselves. So they're not going to ask you how your day is or what motivates you, what your background is like. How are you enjoying work? They're not interested. They just want to tell you their own opinions. Which is why noisemakers don't make good friends. They're very self-centered. It's all about them. They've stopped being curious about others. They've become a noisemaker. Second, how do you spot a noisemaker? Noisemakers are content with one side. It says in Proverbs 18:13, spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. Noisemakers are content with selected facts. Their mind is made up. They suffer from what we call, and I mentioned before, confirmation bias, where we gather people around us who think just like us and tell us exactly what we want to hear. Noisemakers, because they're content with one side, it's easy to be very judgmental about the other side. It's easy to call the other side arrogant, stupid, untrustworthy, greedy, all the same. It's really easy to see all people in black and white terms. These are good people, these are bad people. They are content with one side. They're more interested in informing than being informed. More interested in judging than considering both sides of an issue. That's a noisemaker. How are we doing out there? Tracking? Okay, here we go. Number three. There's five of these. Number three. Noisemakers are often gossipers. It says in Proverbs 20:19, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around with chatterers. You notice the connection between people who talk too much and people who gossip. This should not be a mystery to many of us. We know people who often talk too much suffer from TMI, which is too much information. And when they're done giving us too much information, often about themselves, which can be very uncomfortable. Been around some of that? Then they'll give too much information about other people. And it becomes gossip. It becomes stories that are often unfounded, unflattering. They're just fake. They're not real stories. It's just gossip. Now, you might think, well, come on, so what? Big deal. So they gossip a little bit. Did you know, you might not know this, in the New Testament, that gossip is listed as a sin, as a grievous sin, along with other things like greed and murder. That's how seriously God takes gossip. You and I can write it off as small thing, but God makes it pretty clear that speaking about other people, telling stories about other people, is something that's to be taken very seriously. Noisemakers are often gossipers. If you're around a gossiper, chances are you're around a noisemaker, and vice versa. Number four, noisemakers invite excessive heartache. And this is one of the reasons that this message became very personal to me as I began to prepare for it, because I know, well, I care about you. And I don't want anyone in this room to bring in excessive heartache into their lives. Doesn't life have enough stuff coming our way that we can't control? Why would we invite more stuff, more bad stuff into our lives than need be? So noisemakers invite excessive heartache. Listen to what the wisdom nuggets are that Solomon writes for us. It says, opening your mouth can ruin everything. That's a pretty strong statement, don't you think? Can ruin everything. Not done. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. And finally, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, I want you to notice the key words in all those verses that I just talked about when it comes to excessive heartache. Did you notice the words? It says, when you talk too much, what are the things that can happen? Ruin, trouble, death. Ruin, trouble, and death. Think about that. That's what we can invite when we talk too much. Ruin, trouble, and death. That probably doesn't sound very inviting, does it? Of course not. But that's what happens when we talk too much. Benjamin Franklin said, the slip of the foot you may soon recover, but a slip of the tongue you may never get over. A Japanese proverb says, a tongue 3 inches long can kill a man 6 feet tall. Noisemakers invite ruin, trouble, and death. But how? Well, if they're out judging people, then the people around them will feel condemned. If you're a judgmental person, your kids are going to feel condemned. Your spouse is going to feel condemned. Your friends are going to feel condemned. Your coworkers are going to feel condemned. If you're a gossip, the people around you are not going to trust you. Your family, your friends are not going to trust you. You will have broken that trust. If you're a noisemaker and you're self-centered, and all you think about and talk about is yourself, the people around you are going to start to think, well, what am I? Who am I to you? I'm nothing. They'll start to feel worthless. And when there's a lack of understanding and they're not interested in understanding, they can give themselves a bad name. They can give those they represent a bad name. Noisemakers can come across as ignorant, arrogant, and polarizing. Solomon wrote it as trouble, ruin, and death. And noisemakers swim in these things. And they're related a lot to number five, which is the last one. It is this. How do you spot a noisemaker? Noisemakers do not reflect. It says in Proverbs 29:20, there is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Now, I've already mentioned, I've had plenty of experience in speaking without thinking. Have you ever had that moment where you're talking to someone and the internal dialogue is going, why don't you stop talking? You have already said too much. Anyone have that internal dialogue going on? I've certainly had that. Now, because you and I have probably all experienced that, I have good news for you. Because there's a way that that can become a positive thing, and that's by reflecting on it. It's to look back at that conversation and ask some good questions. And reflection can be on what's happened and what can happen. So here are some questions that are really good as far as reflection. Did my tone of voice communicate that I cared about the person at least as much as the issue? Did they feel cared for in the midst of that? Did I say things that could have been taken the wrong way? In other words, was I clear in what I was trying to say? How could I have made this situation or conversation better? Should I have prayed before I went into this conversation? It's a good question. How could I best represent Christ in what happens next? These are terrific reflection questions. You may want to write these down sometime. But, you know, these types of questions are things that you can do even when you blow it. God can still use blowing it to become more like Him. Isn't that good news? That God can use our mistakes even to draw us closer into a relationship with Him. Noisemakers don't reflect, and as a result, they don't grow. Noisemakers are too busy making noise to reflect. Reflection takes quiet, stillness. Now, I'm very grateful for the privilege I have of serving this church. I'm very grateful that you're here this morning. You didn't have to be here this morning. You could have gone to a different church. You could have not gone to church at all. But you came here. And I'm very aware of the fact that for once a week, you all come and listen to me talk for half an hour. And I find that rather ironic that I'm talking about noisemakers when I stand up here and I give a speech for 30 minutes or so that you all listen to. So I'm kind of aware of this. I'm a little self-conscious about the fact that after this is all over during the week when I get together with you, I realize you've already listened to me for half an hour. And in order to even things up, it would be good for me to listen to you for a while. So I like to sit back and try to listen to you when you speak. And as I've mentioned before, sometimes I turn this into an experiment to see how long people will talk without me saying anything. And the record that I have so far going as a pastor is an hour and 20 minutes. I had someone talk nonstop with me not saying a word. Now, I don't share this with you to make you self-conscious, because there are times where you may need to talk for an hour and 20 minutes. You may need to talk for 3 hours, depending on the situation and what's gone on with you. So that's not the point. The point is that I need to listen, and you need to listen. Sometimes I'm amazed how unself-aware we can be at dominating a conversation and not thinking about it, not realizing that, wait a second, this is not a 50-50 thing. This is not a dialogue. This is a monologue. It's like a long written-out letter with no return address. A long email with no reply button? Does that one land a little better in this crowd? So now, how do you avoid being a noisemaker? If you're here this morning and you're saying, man, I know this is an issue with me. I know sometimes I talk too much. How can I change this? How can I turn this around so that I'm not a noisemaker? Well, oh yeah. Jesus followers are selective talkers. I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. How to avoid being a noisemaker? Number one is flip the coin. And this is for introverts and extroverts. Flip the coin. And as we looked at the words of Proverbs, we already found that noisemakers are not interested in the other side of the coin. They're content with their side of the coin, and that's it. So here's an exercise for all of you. If you don't want to be a noisemaker, get real curious about people. Get curious about your family, your friends, your coworkers. Ask them about themselves. Ask them about their background. Ask them why they do the things they do. Ask them lots of questions. Get genuinely curious. Find out what the other side is. I'm often amazed when I read through the Gospels at how often Jesus asked questions. Find out people's hobbies and fears and triumphs and struggles. Remember, it says that noisemakers have no interest in understanding. So turn that around. Be real interested in understanding other people. Different cultures, different religions, different backgrounds, different languages even. Find out what's going on there. By the way, our vision as a church is that every believer in this church would be a faith trainer, would share their faith regularly with others. Flipping the coin is a great way to do faith training. When you ask other people about what they believe, genuinely caring, not just, well, I got to do my time, so yeah, you talk about what you believe, and when you're done, then I'll give you the real stuff. Not like that, but be genuinely interested and caring about them. And when you've done that, and they sense that you genuinely care, it'll give you the opportunity to then share your faith. Too often, Christians just jump right in, and they say, well, I'm going to tell you the what for. I don't really care what you believe. Right? So flip the coin. Get curious. Number two, and this sounds worse than it is, get crafty. Now, I know that sounds sinister. It sounds like I'm telling you to, you know, that we're up to something here. But remember, noisemakers don't reflect. So I want us all to think, to craft our words, to think about what we are going to say. Remember, the words of the Proverbs said that our words bring death or life. That's what's at stake. Could the stakes be higher? Like, what could Solomon have possibly written that is bigger than death or life? He said, that's how important our words are. So doesn't it make sense that before we have an important conversation, that we begin to craft those words, we begin to think about what is it exactly that I want to say? What are the important things that I need to get across? And how can I word them so that it is crystal clear? Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking more words are better. No, not usually. It says in Proverbs 17:27, a truly wise person uses few words. A truly wise person uses few words. Do you want to be wise in 2019? Find a way to get crafty enough that you can use few words. Craft your words. Think about them. Choose them carefully. This is what I mean by followers of Jesus are selective talkers. You see it? It's right there. It's not that they're not talking. They're talking. But they're selective about their talking. They're selective in their words. They are crafty about how they talk. And again, that sounds sinister. I wish I would have used a different word. I'm still growing. Get crafty. Get creative? Fine. Get creative. All right. Critic in every crowd. All right. Where are we? Oh, yes. So, sometimes we think that the more words, the better, and the importance of crafting words. This is what President Woodrow Wilson said. He was asked one time, how long does it take you to make a speech? Now, when I first started preaching, I would have probably said, the longer the speech, the more prep. This is what he said. That depends on the length of the speech. If it is a 10-minute speech, it takes me all of 2 weeks to prepare it. If it is a half-hour speech, it takes me a week. If I could talk as long as I want to, requires no preparation at all, I am ready now. In other words, the smaller the window, the more golden the opportunity, the more we will want to get creative, craft our words? Think about what we're going to say in advance? Sometimes when we know we have just a short period of time, that's when we need to think about what we're going to say the most. And finally, number three, here's something we can do. It's very related. How to avoid being a noisemaker is play the clip. And what I mean by that is God has given us an amazing ability as human beings. It's called imagination. And you can use your imagination for your own benefit. Because God has given us the ability to think about a situation with characters, motives, plot, dialogue, and we can actually play that out to some degree of accuracy. It's like our own YouTube channel inside of our head. And we can insert all the right data and then play it ahead and figure, if I have a conversation with this person, knowing who they are, knowing what I'm about to say, what is it that I need to do to be the most effective? How could this go if I do it this way or that way? You see, the book of Proverbs said, noisemakers speak without thinking. They don't think ahead. But you have the ability, and we all have the ability, before we have an important conversation, to think ahead. Play the clip. What could this look like? Jesus' followers are selective talkers. Again, sometimes we think that more words the better. If I was to say these words, you could probably tell me where they're from. 67 years ago. What's that from? Nope, not the American Constitution. Gettysburg Address. Thank you. The Gettysburg Address. That was close, though. Gettysburg Address. So on this wintry day, on November 19th, 1863, at the Soldiers National Cemetery was the Gettysburg Address. Here's the interesting thing. Abraham Lincoln, who gave the Gettysburg Address, was not the main speaker that day. Did you know that? In fact, the main speaker that day was a preacher named Edward Everett. And as people stood in the rain, he spoke for 2 hours. You think you got it rough for 30 minutes in a nice padded chair? Imagine standing in the rain for 2 hours listening to Preacher Edward Everett talk. He used a total of 13,607 words. And to this day, probably not one of us can mention anything he said. I'm guessing a lot of Americans didn't even know there was someone else who spoke that day. And when he was all done, after speaking 13,607 words, Abraham Lincoln stands up and he says a total of 271 words, less than 2% of what came before him. And they were so impactful that people have memorized them and recited them ever since. It's not the number of words. It's the power of the words. It's the impact of the words. It's the intent of the words. It's the right words that count. Jesus' followers are selective talkers. Whoop, let's not move ahead here yet. But now, I want to dig a little bit deeper on this. Because if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, as if you're someone who talks too much, it's going to have certain ramifications. It's going to affect what people think of you. It's going to reflect on who you represent, your family, perhaps. It's going to reflect on your spouse. But followers of Jesus have something added to that. Because when we get wordy, we're also representing Jesus in our families, in our workplaces, our neighborhoods. And this is what the Bible says in the New Testament about our words. If you claim to be religious, and many people in this room would, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus, so he's using religion in the proper term here, if you claim to be a follower of Jesus but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. And your following Jesus, your religion, is worthless. That's a pretty big statement. It's worthless. And then James goes on to talk about the damage that the tongue can do. We as followers of Christ, when we're gossiping or we're having one-sided conversations or we're creating heartache for us and the people around us, or we're talking before we're thinking, it has ramifications because we don't just represent ourselves, we represent Christ. And when people see us do these things and we're chatterers and chatterboxes and we talk too much, they could look at us and go, your faith is fake. And it makes me believe your God is fake. And all I can do in response to that thought was go to a prayer in the Psalms that I've recited many times in the last couple days. It goes like this. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Now, as I prepared this message, I got to the end here and I thought, you know, it's possible to get to the end and to have people that I care about in my church family come to a very wrong conclusion. And the wrong conclusion is, this message does not apply to me. I'm an introvert. I don't talk that much. I'm the one that's quiet in the room. And there's a lot of us in this room who are introverts. Introverts unite, separately in our own homes. As the joke goes. And you might think, as an introvert, as someone who's quiet, you think, this doesn't apply to me. I'm not a chatterbox. I just wasted half an hour of my life. Let me offer a suggestion. The suggestion is that you may have thought wrongly about how it is you make noise, because we don't just make noise with our mouth. We can talk with our mind. And we can become so busy talking with our mind that God doesn't get through. This is how it works. Let me give you three scenarios. If we're too busy talking in our mind when it comes to reading the Bible, we're too busy adding our own commentary. Oh, I like that part. Oh, that part doesn't fill me with joy. Don't like that. This is boring. I'm moving on. Maybe try something in the Psalms, something that, a little easier. And we're too busy talking, and we're not listening. When it comes to prayer, it's very easy to become a chatterbox in prayer. Some of us think praying is all about talking at God. Okay, God, you got to sit down. I got 15 minutes here. You sit and listen, and I'll talk. And when we're done, we'll go our separate ways. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about relationship. It's about me speaking and God speaking and listening. And finally, even when it comes to something like this service, it's really easy, even though you're not talking with your mouth, you are talking with your mind. And you might be saying, boy, I sure hope he wraps this up soon. I'm getting hungry. You might be thinking, oh, I've heard all this before. You might be thinking, boy, oh boy, that music was great today, on and on and on. You might have a running commentary in your mind, and you were talking. And God's trying to get through, and he can't because we're noisemakers. And so I go back to this prayer Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Remember, Jesus' followers are selective talkers. If I had my way, I'd have all of us pray this prayer on a regular basis. Take control of what I say, O Lord, not just through my mouth, but in my mind. Quiet my mind so that I can hear you. Here's the deal. When we are still before God, when we are quiet before God, that's when the miraculous happens. When we are still before God, that's when the miraculous happens. My prayer for you in coming to this service, I never pray, oh Lord, people coming to NAC this morning, I pray that they would learn something new. That is not my prayer. I want miracles in you. I want you to encounter the living Christ, because in that is life change. I want you leaving this building saying, I can't believe Jesus saved me. I can't believe he cares about me. I'm so excited. I'm so filled with joy. This is amazing. Wow, I can't believe I get to be part of a church like this. This is so cool. I never want someone leaving here saying, I learned something new. That's nice. I want you to encounter God. And you know, when I look in the Bible and I see all the people who actually had a physical encounter with God, no one leaves saying, well, that was nice. They are stripped naked inside. They are broken by the presence of God. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. When we come here this morning to open up our ears and listen to what God is saying, when we come to the music, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to the message to say, God, what are you trying to say to me? I just want to listen. I want to soak it all in. I want to hear from you. I want to encounter you. I want to be changed by you. I want to leave here more like Christ. That's my prayer for you, church. Pray that for each other. Take control of what I say in my head, Lord. Take control. Let me listen. We want God to speak. We want to encounter him. Andrew. For a moment. In a moment, we are going to practice. We're going to practice listening. And I hope in this message I didn't give the impression that this is easy. It's not. It is a lifetime of growth for God to take charge of our words, whether they're external or internal, and to just listen to him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you can try this too. You're welcome to join us. I invite you to just listen, to hear what God may say to you. I know it might sound a little weird if you're not used to this sort of thing, but just try it. What do you got to lose? You're going to be here anyway. Might as well try it. And we're just going to take a moment, and we're going to be quiet before God. And I want you to just listen to what God has to say to you. Just listen. Our Father, this morning we praise you because you are so powerful. You can calm and control our words externally and internally. May our words come under your direction. May they come under your control. That we would listen. We would listen first and foremost to you. Holy Spirit, may you give us the ability to listen when we are in our connect group, whether we're reading the Bible, whether we are praying. Help us to listen to what you would have us hear. And Lord, I want to thank you this morning for for every person that you spoke to in this time, in this moment of silence. It might have been the only moment of silence some of us have had all week. I thank you for what you've said. And for those who might not have heard something concrete, I ask that you'd help them to be aware of all the different ways you might speak to them throughout the day. That we would constantly be listening and allowing you to take control of our words so that there's space for the Holy Spirit to speak. Lord, we want to become more like Christ. And while we are talking, we are not listening. I thank you, God, for your love for each person here. I thank you that you care more about the people of this church than I ever could. You watch over them. You think about them. And you speak to them. Lord, may we be a listening church, following in the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are going to be some people up here who would love to pray with you. So come on up, be prayed for. The rest of you are dismissed. Thank you for coming. God bless you.